Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from christministries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 66. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon, I'll show you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. Both are absolutely free. We also pay for the postage and handling. We have part 6 of the Antichrist government posing to be United States government officials who like to blow up buildings, and also, they like to shoot little children at Waco and starve people to death and all the different things that they do. This is not the United States government. This is Vatican Roman Catholic cult Roman law, which screams to hell with the U.S. Constitution. I'm for the U.S. Constitution. I'm for the freedom of speech. I'm for the freedom of religion. Even though I preach against religion, I believe that we should be able to have the freedom to do that, and we should not burn people at the stakes, but that we should preach the gospel to them, which is able to save a person's soul, the word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless part 6 of this message. Father, we pray that you'll open the spiritual ears and eyes of everyone out in Radio Land, even the Christians, Lord, that are shallow. They need this new depth in you to know you more and more. And they need to know who the enemy is of their souls and of the people in this world. And Lord, I'll do that until you allow something to happen. They take off the air or whatever. And also, Lord, we ask that the people in the world, the worldly people, the carnal people, that you'll open their spiritual ears and eyes and let your word shoot into their dark minds, into their dark hearts, until they light up, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we ask that you do this and that you anoint in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Right, go ahead.
Worshiping God is the same as keeping all of his commandments, which includes communication with him, communion. But the others, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, serve or worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Mr. Peeler's statement shows the fulfillment of this prophecy of Christ in Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle.
Okay, the mouth of Satan is the media, the mass media. Okay, then what?
We who are born of the Spirit are his tabernacle. Know ye not that ye are the temple or tabernacle of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And blaspheme them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7 states, and it was given unto him, Satan, the dragon, with his temporary power, to make war with the saints.
Well, that's what he's doing right now. Then what is it?
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, Satan, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everyone that has an ear to hear the spiritual things from God, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. This means those fallen denominational leaders who lead or send the newly saved Christians back into Satan's Roman cult shall spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Revelation chapter 13, verses 8 through 10.
In other words, he that kills with the word of God that twists it, they're going to die by the word of God and be judged by it. Keep going.
The original Hebrew and Aramaic state, he who murders with the sword must be murdered with the sword. The false prophets murder souls by putting a false meaning to God's word.
Right. The sword is the word of God. That's the strongest, most powerful weapon in the world. That's why Satan hates the word of God so much, and that's why he's having it extracted out of schools and everywhere nowadays. But we, who are the last of the incarnation of Christ here on earth, we exalt the sword, the word of God, more than any other thing, because the sword, the word of God, is God. Then what?
God's true word shall murder them forever in hell and the lake of fire. In other words, those who twist the Word of God to mean something that it doesn't mean, causing souls to believe the opposite of what God says, such as causing them to believe that carnal weapons and carnal wars are condoned by the Lord our God, or that homosexuality or other demon possessions, which are exceedingly sinful because they are exactly in opposition to God's Word, are condoned by the Lord. The truth is that all these are condemned by the Lord. Therefore, all those who lead people to hell, then the lake of fire, the captivity of Satan, must be murdered with the sword, the Word of God. They must spend eternity in the same lake of fire with Satan, with his angels, and with all those who follow him.
Well, they must be killed. Murder is from the plans to kill somebody. And the Lord's plan is if people don't keep his commandments, that he plans to destroy them. Okay, then what else?
If you believe the truth of God, God says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Revelation chapter 13, verse 10. The people who were once saved and became antichrist, as well as those who pretend to be Christians and are not, not only take a stand against God in this wicked world, they fight whoever does not join them. They'll go after the servants of God with everything they have in their power. My late wife Susan and myself, like the Apostle Paul, determined not to know anything among us save Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. We vowed to give our lives before we would ever compromise God's Word. God's Word means exactly what it says, and nothing shall change God, the Word. God is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he, the Word, shall judge every unrepentant sinner through the saints. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He adds that we who are one with him shall also judge the angels, whether you or they like it or not. It's going to be the most astounding thing in the universe to see those false prophets and compromisers, those who have allowed themselves to be deceived into a one-world satanic power church cult government by the media, the propagandists, stand before God on the day of judgment. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth, that is, to make peace with the devil, the powers of darkness. I came not to send peace, but to bring the word, the light, the sword." Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. As well as to destroy the works of darkness, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, not to compromise with Satan, his darkness, and those who have compromised with his word. Doing it. Christ didn't come into the world just to do the best he could. He didn't try to get on the cross, he got on the cross. He didn't try to die for the sins of the world, he did die for the sins of the world. He didn't try the best he could to go to hell, he did go to hell for us. He didn't try to go out of hell. By his mighty power, he got out of hell. He didn't try to ascend into heaven. He really ascended into heaven before the eyes of over 500 people. Doing the best we can is not enough. We must be members of Christ's body. We must be perfect. Perfection is accomplished by God in Christ, living and working both in and through us. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew chapter 28, verse 18.
Well, the Bible says there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That means if you're walking according to the Spirit, that you're perfect because there's no condemnation. And that's the only thing that matters is that you're not condemned. And if you're not condemned, then you're perfect enough to be in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's continue.
This is because Christ never compromised, never sinned, and never gave place to the devil, as these demonic creatures who call themselves Christian ministers do in this world today. They are false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. They tell you, just send us your money and you'll be blessed. You'll go to heaven. You'll be able to buy a new home, a new car, and send your children to demonic colleges and universities. However, they leave the word demonic out. You'll be able to enjoy your present life and have fun.
Enjoy everyday life, you know, enjoy your everyday life when the Lord wants you to die of your old life and just live the new life, the new creature. Amen?
Amen.
I enjoy Christ. I enjoy Christ, his life. I don't enjoy my life because I don't live my life. I enjoy Christ. Christ is the Holy Spirit. He's the kingdom of heaven. He's my breastplate of righteousness. He is my mind. He is my spirit. He's my body. My body is his and his body is mine. And he's everything to me. He gives me my food and my drink, and when I'm thirsty, he gives me the clothes. He supports me. He gives me everything I have. Okay, my heir. God is the heir. Did you know Christ is the heir?
Amen.
He's everything. And so the good land is the Lord's that he gave me. And he gave me the everlasting kingdom of God. And so I enjoy Christ. Yes, I do. His life. I don't enjoy my everyday life. And then she has a person on her program that says, can we be a Christian and still be ourselves? No, we have to become part of the body of Christ. But she says, yes, you can. You definitely can. I don't want that kind of a congregation that believes that way. I want somebody that believes what Christ says, that we must enjoy his life all the time, and we must be his completely. If we give ourselves to Christ as a living sacrifice, then we don't belong to ourselves anymore. The Bible says we don't belong to ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
We are his. Therefore, I enjoy being his. I don't enjoy my everyday life. If I didn't have Christ, I couldn't enjoy anything. But now I enjoy everything, even persecutions when they come, because I realize that the prophets before me were persecuted the same way. And so I rejoice. And the Lord tells me to rejoice when I get persecuted. So you got to look at things from the Lord's view. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be his life in order for you to think that way. And you have to be in the Lord in order to avoid bitterness. Because if you know you've got eternity, if you know you've got the Lord, if you know he's providing everything for you, then how can you be bitter? You've forgotten to be thankful that you have the Lord's life. Hallelujah. You wouldn't be anything without him. I certainly wouldn't, and no one would. So if you don't have the Lord, if you don't have his life, and if you're not enjoying his life, then you don't have anything. You're on your way to hell. So repent so that you can have everything. I mean, the Lord's life. And enjoy the Lord's life. I enjoy Christ. And that's something when you reach the part of maturity in the Lord that you can enjoy Christ in every aspect. So do it. In Jesus' name, go ahead.
However, Christ tells us to deny ourselves daily and take up our cross daily and follow him. Luke chapter 9, verse 23.
Right, if you want his life, follow him. If you don't want his life, well, then what are you doing here? Amen?
Amen.
What are you doing on earth? You think you're just here to eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom or something? What is it? Or go to movies or watch TV? That isn't what the Lord put you here for. Okay, go ahead.
The lives of Jesus, the prophets, and the apostles were not what anyone could call worldly fun. Only false prophets would say that the Lord saved us to be comfortable and have worldly fun, or say they've been called to preach money. God truly states that if we keep all of his commandments, and he means all of them, he will provide for us.
Everything. He provides everything. Even healing. Salvation, healing, immortality, defense, everything. The more you give yourself unto the Lord, the more he'll give himself unto you. Receive Christ, the life of Christ. Enjoy his life. Because it's the only thing to enjoy in this world. There's nothing else. Then what?
He provides for us as our souls prosper. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. 3 John, verse 2. Encouragement. God commands us to love not the world, that is, not to desire the things of this world, but to desire the things of the world to come. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15.
Right. You can use the things of this world, but don't get all hung up into it as though you own it. I don't own anything in this world except Christ in my soul, and my life, the Lord's life in me. I love the life that the Lord has given me. It's his life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Fun to a Christian is the encouragement we receive when we know that the Spirit of God in Christ is living and working in us. And when by God's power in us, we know we have overcome sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, and ourselves, so that our souls, by keeping God's commandments, are preserved or sealed in him. We are not sealed in him if we break his commandments. If we break his commandments, this breaks the seal. The consistent walk in the Holy Spirit is the seal, the power that keeps us. If we draw back from God, we break the seal, and there remaineth for us no more sacrifice for sins, no more repentance. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 26. The false prophets will tell you that I am unscriptural. Read the Bible for yourself. You will see that I am not unscriptural. There is a sin unto death, and there is a sin not unto death. 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. If we begin living a life of sin, read the Bible, the seal is broken. Keeping God's commandments gives us encouragement, and this encouragement that we get by our overcoming evil is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The people of the world don't have the kind of fun that the saints do. The saints refuse to believe that the temporal things of this world are fun. The children of darkness have worldly fun, but for this they shall surely reap hell in the lake of fire. The false prophets never tell you, as the Bible tells you, that you must yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness, Romans chapter 6, verse 19. That is, surrender your entire self to the lifestyle of Christ, the Spirit of God, so that God in Christ can live both in you and through you, continuing his work here on earth. These false prophets make you believe that sending your money to them is all that God wants you to do. They tell you that this is the whole work of God. Of course, if that's what you believe, Satan will not persecute you. After all, he already has you. You are condemned for supporting false prophets. Supporting false prophets is the same as supporting Satan. They assure you that they'll get the true word of God spread throughout the world. God sent his disciples into the world to follow and preach the truth and to reject all those who would refuse the truth. When his disciples were rejected by anyone, Christ never instructed them to say, "God loves you, brother. God loves you, sister. I love you, brother," or "I love you, sister." What the Lord does command his disciples to do to those who reject him is shake off the dust of your feet for a testimony against them, Mark chapter 6, verse 11. Don't even wish them any peace. Let your peace return to you, Matthew chapter 10, verse 13. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds, 2 John verses 10 through 11. Consecration. God forbids and condemns all those who believe they are to unite themselves with the devil's cult and media. God's word, however, offers them mercy by telling them, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty," 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. The bloodthirsty, those who murder, hate the upright, but the just seek his soul, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 10. We all can plainly see in the true word of God, which is not in one of these new Antichrist government Bibles, that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We are not to marry them, become partners with them in business, or hang around them, hoping that one day they are going to believe. And we are not to unite the body of Christ with false religions. This is what the false prophet, his cult, his government, and his mouth, the media, are telling the deceived world. They falsely and demonically state that in order for the people of the world to have peace on earth, they must first unite themselves to all demonic religions, which are all joined with Rome in one way or another. God plainly warns us that to do such a thing is an unforgivable sin. Therefore, it is the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is unforgivable both in heaven and on earth. Anyone condoning carnal wars, carnal weapons, murder, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, the forbidding of marriage, or any other thing which is contrary to the word of God is a cult. And anyone who believes them is a cultist and is on their way to hell in the lake of fire. The Bible commands us to depart from them all. Again, receive them not into your house, neither bid them Godspeed. For he that biddeth them Godspeed is partaker of their evil deeds. 2 John verses 10 through 11. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Jesus called us out of darkness into light. We are to fellowship with the Lord and those who are the saints of the Lord. We are to resist the devil and never give place to him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. We are to resist the devil and he will flee from us. James chapter 4, verse 7. When I was a young Christian many years ago, I was astounded to find that the people in the southern states, the Bible Belt, no longer recognized the true word of God. I am no longer astounded at this because God said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they, rather than believing the word of God, shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. They are headed for eternal destruction. How could it be possible that the people in the Bible Belt who were saved and raised on the gospel could receive another gospel, which is not another gospel? Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. It is a fantasy, a fable, a pipe dream. Paul stated twice in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In genuine Christians, the minute something hits their ears, it filters down to their heart. If the word of God is written upon the table of your heart in the blood of Jesus Christ, everything will turn from your heart to your head, and you will say, wait a minute. God said, the Bible says, and that's it. They're not going to receive false doctrine, because false doctrine can never save a soul, but destroys the human soul. That's why it's so important for the people of Satan to make a law forbidding the Bible to be read or distributed. Satan cannot control a human being whose faith is in the living God, one who is born into the kingdom of God through faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no hold of Satan upon him, but God automatically answers him. Jesus said, the Bible says, God said. Satan cannot keep anyone in confusion whose trust and faith is in the living God, that is, who has faith in his word. Brothers and sisters, I stand before you today. I preach my heart out to you. I plead and I beg, and I say to you that you are standing right at the door of the coming of Jesus Christ. This whole world has no idea what it's heading for. The world and those in the world who are lost are heading for destruction. We have never known violence comparable to what this nation is going to know. You have lost your place with God, and you have compromised with the devil. You have also allowed yourself to become susceptible to every demon power in hell. We have got to believe God. We have to get back to the true gospel. That which was written of old still has not changed. It is still the gospel which helps men and women break their way through to God. The gospel which makes people say to each other, I talked about you, brother, but I ask you to forgive me. I was wrong. Or say, sister, I'd said things about you that were untrue. I ask you to forgive me because I know it is the will of God for me to do this to keep myself free from sin. And I know that the time is drawing nigh of the coming of Jesus Christ. And I know we must repent or be judged as sinners and spend eternity in the lake of fire. If we commit one sin, no matter how small, we've broken them all. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. James chapter 2, verse 10. We're going to have to make straight that which is crooked. We're going to have to prepare to meet our God. So again, if we refuse to be the lights of the world, the whole world will continue to be dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. They will continue in their world of darkness if we do not preach the light of the word of God into their hearts. They will never wake up until the day of judgment. At that time, it will be far too late for them to repent of their sins. Those who thought they were Christians but are not, because they didn't believe the gospel enough to obey it, will be weighed in the balances and found wanting. Daniel chapter 5, verse 27. They will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Those people say they are Christians, yet don't believe that they have to keep the commandments, such as exposing the enemy, and they don't believe God's word, which says we are never to join false religions, which are not only enemies of God, but the enemy of God's children, who are the tabernacle of God. They will be held accountable by God for the blood of every soul that is lost over their refusal to alert the world about who the devil is using and how he is using them, as well as for joining Satan's one-world government, cult, and media, which is the same as worshiping Satan and his beast. God never hides the names of the wicked people in the Bible, as the false Christians do today. The Word of God tells us of the sin of Adam, Eve, Cain, Lamech, and all the wicked people of the world, which God drowned. It tells of the sins of Ham, Nimrod, Amraphel, Arioch, Chedorlaomer, Tidal, Sodom, Gomorrah, Esau, Pharaoh, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, Achan, Saul, David, Absalom, Adonijah, Jeroboam, Ahab, Jezebel, Sennacherib, Pelatiah, Belshazzar, Herod, Judas Iscariot, Ananias, Sapphira, Elymas, Demetrius, Hymenaeus, Alexander, and many others. The Lord deliberately exposes all these and many more so that they can be examples for us as to what not to do. The Bible also tells us of all the good people, the people of the Lord. Where does this doctrine come from that states that we are not supposed to expose the devil and those he is using, such as false religions? The Bible tells everyone where it comes from. It's coming from Satan, the great red dragon, Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. Many false prophets preach this false doctrine, and woe unto you if you fall for it. Jesus said Satan will not cast out Satan, which means Satan will not expose Satan, Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 through 26. The Lord and his people expose Satan. Those who hide the devil are the devil. All those who play any kind of sport must know who their opponents are and how they will compete against their opponents, or else they can't win. The secular world is set up to know who its opponents are. How much more should the spiritual realm know who their enemy is and expose them to the world? This is why God's word tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
I see our time is up right now. God bless you and praise the Lord. And hey, get right with the Lord. By the way, ask the Lord to enter into your heart. Ask him to wash all your filthy sins away. Ask him by the Spirit. Jesus, come into my heart with the Father by the Spirit and wash all my filthy sins away. Enter into me and give me the strength that will make me more than a conqueror in you. And Lord, I will read your word and I will keep your word. I know that you won't turn me away because your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means me. Therefore, I know you've heard me and I know you've answered me and I know I'm saved. Just praise and thank the Lord and share and tell everybody how to receive a copy of this program number 66.
Go to alamuministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamuministries.com. Or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078, or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
We're going to continue this broadcast tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. This was part 6 of the Antichrist government agents are in the United States now posing as United States federal agents, and they're not, according to the things that you see. All the gospel is being destroyed. People that are preaching the gospel are being destroyed, thrown in prison on false charges. So we're going to have part 7 tomorrow. So make sure you tune in. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Loma saying, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.